بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Now we will, inshallah, try to cover the description of Hajj from the book of Al-Umda by Imam Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi. And Imam ibn Qudama started by the description of Hajj before he talked about the pillars and the mandatory actions. And that is a way the scholars started usually. Talking about the description of the acts of worship, they talked about the description of the perfect Hajj, the perfect Salah, the perfect Siyam, just like the Prophet ﷺ did it. And they later tried to explain to us what of this Salah is a pillar, what is mandatory, and what is a Sunnah. So he will talk in the next chapter about the pillars and mandatory actions of Hajj. But now he's telling you that this is the perfect Hajj, or the description of the Hajj, including the pillars, mandatory actions, preferable actions. And then he will describe in detail what is a pillar and what's mandatory and what is preferable. I call this lecture Hajj Illustrated because Hajj really needs to be shown to people. It is not very easy to imagine a Hajj. If you look at this, and I think we should recognize the people who do this work. I think this was from greaterjihad.wordpress.com. If you look at this image here, it will start by number one, which is going from Mecca to Mina. Now this is Mecca here. This is Mecca, and number one is going from Mecca to Mina. That is the beginning of Hajj. Now, he's not talking to you about arriving at Mecca, because this is the beginning of Hajj itself. He's assuming that you are making tamattu, or even if you're making ifrad, and you're just making Hajj alone, or tamattu, which is Umrah, and then Hajj, with a period of exiting from Ihram between them, you will move from Mecca to Mina on the eighth day of Dhul-Hijjah, which is called the day of Tarwiyah. This is just to describe the whole thing, and then inshallah we will go in more detail regarding each step. So number two is going from Mina. Now you went to Mina and you stayed in Mina for about a day. You went to Mina before Dhuhr. You prayed Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha in Mina of the 8th. Usually the night starts before the day. So you prayed the Dhuhr and Asr of the 8th, and the Maghrib and Isha will belong to the 9th, because the night starts before the day. So you prayed the Maghrib of Laylat Arafah, Isha of Laylat Arafah, the night of Arafah, or the night of the 9th. And then Fajr of the day of Arafah in Mina. And then you proceeded from Mina to Arafah. You proceed from Mina to Arafah in mid-morning. You proceed to Arafah. It is the Sunnah, or the way of the Prophet ﷺ, to go first to Namira. And to, like, you can go from, if you want to do the perfect Hajj, you can go from Mina to Namira, and you pray Dhuhr and Asr in Namira, and you listen to the khutbah of the Imam, and then you proceed to Al-Mawqif, or Arafah itself, where you stand. So now this, we're on the 9th of the Hijjah now, and we have moved from Mina. We came very close to Arafah in the masjid that is in Namira. And you stayed in that masjid until you heard the khutbah of the Imam and prayed Dhuhr and Asr with the Imam, Jam' Taqdeem, combining them. And then you proceed to go to Arafah. That is showing you it's called mountain, but in English, usually mountain describes like a bigger height. But that's showing you the heights of Arafah, or the mountain of the mountain that is in Arafah. But Arafah is not just that mountain or Jabal al-Rahma, but Arafah is the entire area of Arafah. This is where the Prophet ﷺ stood. There is no virtue in climbing that mountain. People are very keen to climb all the way to the top, but there is no virtue in doing so. And then you stand in Arafah until after Maghrib, after sunset. And then number three here would be moving. This Masjid Namira is not after. This is before, right? You went to Masjid Namira first, and then you went to Arafah. And after sunset of the ninth, you went to Al-Muzdalifah. And from Al-Muzdalifah, you went to Al-Muzdalifah, that's after sunset. You prayed Maghrib and Aisha in Al-Muzdalifah. And then you go to sleep. You do not have to sleep, but it is better to sleep, so that you have energy the next day to do the rest of the Sha'air. You pray Fajr in Al-Muzdalifah if you're capable. For people who have difficulties, older people, women, etc., sick people, they can proceed after midnight. But for people who are capable, they should stay in Muzdalifah, according to the more correct position, until they had prayed Fajr in Al-Muzdalifah and made dhikr in the Mash'ar al-Haram, and all of Al-Muzdalifah is Al-Mash'ar al-Haram, and they make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and before sunrise, after it is bright, but before sunrise, they proceed from Al-Muzdalifah to Mina. What they will first do in Mina, which is number five here, is to throw Jamrat al-Aqaba. And this is Jamrat al-Aqaba. This is the bigger Jamra. This is the middle. This is the smaller. These three will be thrown every day from the 11th onward. 11th, 12th, and if you want, the 13th as well. But on the day, on the 10th, you will be throwing only Jamrat al-Aqaba, which is the bigger one. After you threw Jamrat al-Aqaba, you make Nahr, which is number six here. Nahr, you will be slaughtering the sacrificial animal. And after you have made Nahr, you will make number seven, which is Halq, to follow the exact order of the Prophet ﷺ. Keep in mind, we're talking about the way the Prophet made Hajj and the best way to make Hajj. We're not saying that everything here is mandatory and the order is mandatory. But we're just saying this is the most perfect way because this is how the Prophet ﷺ made his own. So you made halq or taqsir, and halq is better than taqsir. Shaving is better than shortening your hair. And after you have made halq or taqsir, in this case you will exit from ihram partially. It is called at-tahallul al-asghar, tahallul al-awwal, which is partial exiting from the state of ihram. Everything that was not permissible for you in your state of ihram will now become permissible except conjugal relations, except relations with relations between the two genders. Now you have attained, you know, you have become halal. So you can wear regular clothes now, you can put thib now, you can put perfume and wear regular clothes and so on and so forth. And then you will proceed to Mecca. Where is he showing this? Okay, here, number eight. You will proceed to Mecca to make what? Tawaf al-Ifada, which is the pillar tawaf. The pillar tawaf, you will make it now. The pillar tawaf, you will make it now. And then after you have proceeded to Mecca to make your pillar tawaf, number nine would be going back to Mina to stay in Mina. You'll be staying in Mina. Ayyam al-Tashriq, you spend them in Mina. It is acceptable to go back and forth to Mecca, but generally you are staying in Mina. You are staying in Mina in Ayyam al-Tashriq. Now, Ayyam al-Tashriq will be the ayam of, or the days of storing al-jamarat. Jamra means heaps, a heap of stones. So these are jamarat. These jamarat are symbolic for the shaitan when Ibrahim alayhi salam threw his pebbles on the shaitan, who was trying to whisper to him to not submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we commemorate this by stoning those jamarat or those symbols. Now, how are you going to be doing this? From al-dhuhr, you know, on the first day, you will stone this jamra before dhuhr. But on the rest of the days, preferably from al-dhuhr to al-maghrib, you will be stoning the jamarat. The scholars have actually extended this, particularly recently, the more contemporary scholars, because of some difficulties that happened at the jamarat. They extended this throughout the day and night. But you will be throwing the jamarat somewhere from dhuhr to al-maghrib, or before or after. And you will start from al-jamra al-sughra. You'll start from al-jamra al-sughra and then move to al-jamra al-wusta. Al-sughra means the smaller. Al-wusta means the middle. And then al-jamra al-kubra or jamra al-aqaba will be the last. After you throw the jamarat here, you will make dua, except for with after you throw the jamrat al-aqaba, you don't stand to make dua. But we will finish this in some more detail, inshallah. So you are done with the 11th and 12th, which are ayam al-tashriq, the 11th and 12th. If you want to stay and make rami or throw the jamarat on the 13th, you may do that. If you want to leave early, you may do that, but leave early before sunset of the previous day. And then the last thing that you want to do is to make tawaf al-wada', which is the farewell pilgrimage. And that will be the last part of Hajj, which is number 12, tawaf al-wada'. Okay, here is a little bit more detail now. He says, يستحب أن يدخل مكة من أعلاها. It's preferable that he enters Mecca from the northern side, because the Prophet ﷺ used to enter Mecca from the northern side. So you will be entering Mecca from here. كان يدخل مكة من الثنية العليا ويخرج من الثنية السفلى. كان يدخل من كدا ويخرج من كدا. He used to enter Mecca from here and leave it from here. This is where Al-Madina is and this is where north is. So you're coming this way. So you're coming this way. You're coming to Mecca from the northern side. ويدخل المسجد من باب بني شيبة لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل منه, and that he enters the masjid from the gate of Abi Shayba, since or Bani Shayba. There is a mistake here. Bani Shayba, since the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered from there. So you'll be coming from Medina from the north, and then you will go this way and enter from Bab Bani Shayba. Remember, during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, it was not this big. So it wasn't like this. It was more like this. So Bab Bani Shayba is now here. It used to be here, for instance, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. فإذا رأى البيت رفع يديه وكبر وحمده وكبر الله وحمده ودعا. And once he sees the house, he raises his hands and says Allahu Akbar and praises Allah the Almighty and supplicates. رفع يديه, this was not established from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but it was established from Abdullah ibn Abbas. So it is a sunnah of a companion and you may follow it. But you have to know that it is not from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The hadith pertaining to this from the Prophet is not authentic, is weak. كبر الله, he said الله أكبر وحمده ودعا. كبر الله وحمده ودعا. All of these are established from Sahaba, not from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. دعا, for instance, is from Umar رضي الله عنه. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib said that I heard Umar ibn al-Khattab say something that no one alive had heard him say it. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام فحينا ربنا بالسلام. O Allah, you are peace, and from you comes peace, so make us live in peace. And all of this comes from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The takbir also is from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Takbir actually was reported in a hadith that is mursal, a hadith that stops at the tabi'i. So anyway, there is nothing here that is directly from the Prophet ﷺ, but you may do all of this because of the precedent of the companions and the righteous predecessors. So now you're coming, you entered from Bab Bani Shaybah, and now you'll start the first tawaf. This tawaf, if you're coming for Hajj, it's called tawaf al-qudum, the tawaf of arrival. If you're making Hajj and Umrah, and you will exit from Ihram between Umrah and Hajj, then this will be called tawaf al-Umrah, the tawaf of al-Umrah. Whether this is tawaf al-Umrah or the tawaf al-qudum or tawaf of arrival, you will be making ittiba'. Certainly that's for men, that does not apply to women. You'll be making a tiba', which is showing the right shoulder. That's a tiba', and that only applies to the first tawaf. It does not apply to tawaf al-ifada. You see, sometimes people stay like this throughout the Hajj. That is really not prescribed. This is only prescribed in tawaf al-qudum or tawaf al-umrah, in the first tawaf. And you will be making a tiba' throughout the tawaf. But you will be brisk walking only in the first three rounds, which is Ramal. ثم يبتدئ بطواف العمرة إن كان معتمرا أو بطواف القدوم إن كان مفردا أو قارنا. And then he starts with the circumambulation of Umrah if he was performing Umrah, or the circumambulation of the arrival, طواف القدوم if he was performing إفراد, حج alone, or قران, حج and Umrah simultaneously. فيطبع بردائه فيجعل وسطه تحت عاتقه الأيمن وطرفيه على عاتقه الأيسر. وسطه تحت عاتقه الأيمن وطرفيه على عاتقه الأيسر. He makes الطباع with his upper garment and puts the middle of it underneath his right shoulder and the two ends over his left shoulder. ويبدأ بالحجر الأسود فيستلمه ويقبله ويقول بسم الله الله أكبر اللهم إيمانا بك وتصديقا بكتابك ووفاء بعهدك واتباعا لسنة نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. This particular دعاء has not been reported authentically. And he starts at the black stone and places, but you may say it because dua, you can make any dua you desire. You can certainly use this dua. You can make any dua you desire. And he starts at the black stone and places his hand on it and kisses it and says Bismillah to the end of the dua. So he starts at the black stone. So he came from Thaniya al-Ulya, from up, entered from Bab Bani Shaybah. From here, you walk to Al-Hajar al-Aswad. And it would be a good time to talk about the parts of Al-Kaaba here. And that's the next slide. That is Al-Kaaba. And these would be the parts of Al-Kaaba. That is Al-Hajar al-Aswad here, the black stone. And number two is the door, the gate of the Kaaba, Bab al-Kaaba. Number three, They put number three on top. Okay, that's the spout, the rain spout, al-Mizab, the rain spout of the Kaaba. Number four, al-Shadarwan, which is the prop or the buttress of the Kaaba. The prop or the buttress of the Kaaba. Number five would be Al-Hatim, Hijr Ismail, the Hijr of Ismail, which is part of the Kaaba that is outside of it. Therefore, you cannot make tawaf, you cannot cut through here. You'll have to make tawaf around Hijr Ismail, because Hijr Ismail is part of the Kaaba that was left out. And this is number six, is Al-Multazam. Al-Multazam, the part of the Kaaba to be embraced. The part of the Kaaba to be embraced. And this is how you Multazam, like this. To embrace this part of the Kaaba. And that is the part between Al-Rukn wal-Bab. This is the part between the Rukn Hajar al-Aswad, Rukn al-Hajar al-Aswad, and al-Bab, the door of al-Kaaba. Number 7 will be Maqam Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim. Number 8 will be here, this Rukn. This and this are called al-Yamaniyan, the two Yemeni pillars of al-Kaaba, the two Yemeni pillars of the Kaaba, because they are from the Yemeni side, southern side. This and this are called the Shamiyan. This and this are called a Shamiyan. Sometimes they call 11 al-Iraqi, because 11 is northeast and 10 is northwest, so they call it a Shami. But when they call them together, they call it Shamiyan, the two Shami ones. Means Sham, which is known. Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, Jordan. So these are the Shamiyan, the two Shami ones. These are the Yemeniyan, the two Yemeni ones. You can call this al Iraqi. This is a Shami. That is also acceptable. These are the two arcan that are the real arcan of al-Kaaba. These are not the real, because remember, this is part of al-Kaaba. So the Rukn would have been here. So these are the two arcans that are to be touched. Not these two, not the other two. ثم يأخذ عن يمينه ويجعل البيت عن يساره فيطوف سبعا يرمل في الثلاث الأول من الحجر إلى الحجر ويمشي في الأربعة الأخر. And then he moves to his right and keeps the house or the Kaaba on his left and circumambulates 7 times, making ramal, which is brisk walking, with short steps in the first 3 rounds, with each round starting and ending from the stone, and he walks in the last 4 rounds. So you will be doing this anti-clockwise. Anti-clockwise. Around the Kaaba. Where do you start? You're starting from Rukn al-Hajar al-Aswad, or parallel to it. And they have a line for you. This line, in reality, is brown. So they have a line for you and the ground, so that wherever you are, even if you're very far away from the Kaaba, you can see the line. And you start from the line, and then you circumambulate anti-clockwise 7 times. The first 3 times, in the first tawaf, not in every tawaf, in the first tawaf, will be brisk walking, fast walking, with short steps. It's called ramal. And ittiba and ramal were meant to show Quraysh that the Sahaba are not sick, have not been weakened by the atmosphere of Medina. When Quraysh said that they have been weakened by the atmosphere of Medina. So this is to show them that the Sahaba were not weakened by the atmosphere of Medina. Okay, so he made the tawaf. He says here, whenever, وَكُلَّمَا حَذَ الرُّكْنَ الْيَمَانِيَ وَالْحَجَرَ اسْتَلَمَهُمَا وَكَبَّرَ وَهَلَّلَ. Whenever he is in line with the Yemeni corner. Where is the Yemeni corner? What number is the Yemeni corner? 9. What's the 8 here? 8 is... Okay. Both are called the two Yemeni corners, but when we say Rukn al-Yamani or Rukn al-Yamani alone, not the two Yemeni, when we say the one Yemeni, that's the one Yemeni, because this one is the Rukn al-Hajar al-Aswad. This one is marked by al-Hajar al-Aswad. But when you say the two Yemeni, these are the two Yemeni. So 8 and 9 are the two Yemeni. But 9 is the Yemeni corner when we just say al-Yemeni or al-Yemani. So whenever you come, you will come parallel to the Rukn al-Yemani and the Rukn that has al-Hajar. He places his hand on them and says Allahu Akbar and makes tahleel by saying La ilaha illallah, which means there is no God but Allah. Al-Rukn al-Yamani, you place your hand on it. Al-Hajar, you kiss it, you place your hand on it, you point to it, you point to it with a stick. So Al-Hajar, has more importance. But the Rukn al-Yamani, you just place your hands on it. The two other arkan, you do not do any of that with the two other arkan, or the two other pillars of the Kaaba. And between the two rukns, al-Yamaniyain, between the two southern pillars, he will say, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Or, Lord, grant us good in this world and good in the hereafter, and protect us from the torment of the fire. And he makes any supplications. وَيَدْعُوا فِي سَئِرِهِ بِمَا أَحَبَّ. And he makes any supplications he pleases in the rest. Now, this is to show you Zamzam, the well of Zamzam. So this is where the well of Zamzam. It's very close to al-Maqam, but in order for you to get to it, you will actually have to walk and go down the stairs, because certainly you cannot, all of this crowd cannot be on the top. Back then it was much easier, but now we'll have to go downstairs. Okay, so you finished your tawaf, you finished your seven, here you finished your tawaf. He tells you, after you had done that, that you go behind al-maqam, maqam Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, and pray and make the maqam between you and the Kaaba, if you can. Do your best. Do your best. But, you know, come as close as you can. You can be very far from the maqam, but still trying to make the maqam between you and the Kaaba, that would count. So you do your best, in other words. And you make the maqam between you and the Kaaba. And then pray two rakats behind the station of Ibrahim or Maqam Ibrahim, and then he returns to the corner of the black stone and places his hand on it. يَعُودْ إِلَى الْبَيْتُ وَيَسْتَلِمُ يَعُودْ إِلَى الرُّكْنُ وَيَسْتَلِمُ. So you finished your tawaf, you prayed your two rakats, you go back to al-rukn, and you place your hand on the rukn, if you can. All if you can. Now, you're done with your tawaf. Now you will head to make sa'i. Sa'i, walking between al-Safa and al-Marwa. And this is the masjid now one more time. Now, remember, this is Bab Bani Shayba. This is al-Marwa. This is al-Safa. Bab Bani Shayba was not there during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. It was very close to the Kaaba. But this is where it is now. This is al-Marwa. This is al-Safa. And this is Zamzam. And this is Maqam Ibrahim. You finished your tawaf. And you went to Zamzam, and you returned to al-Rukn, al-Hajar al-Aswad, and touched it. Then you go to al-Safa to start to make your tawaf. Then you go to al-Safa to start to make your tawaf. And this is from inside. This is from inside. You'll go to al-Safa, and you will rise on al-Safa and Marwa. I think this is al-Marwa. But Safa is similar to this. You will rise on them, or they will show you where it starts. You don't have to be on the rocks, but people make excellent effort to get there. But they will show you where it starts anyway, Safa and Al Marwa. So you get to Safa, and then you start to make your sa'i. He says here, ثم يخرج إلى الصفا من بابه فيرقى عليه ويكبر الله ويهلله ويدعوه. Then he departs to الصفا from its gate and climbs it, الصفا, and says, well, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, it did require some climbing, but now الصفا sometimes can be beneath you, because if you're making the sa'i on the third floor, the صفا will be underneath you. You'll be making the sa'i on the third floor. And there will be like a dome that represents where Safa is, and a dome there that represents where Marwa is. And you get to the dome, and from the dome to the dome, but Safa will be underneath you. So then he departs to Safa from its gate and climbs it and says Allahu Akbar and makes tahleel and supplicates to him, to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he will say, لا إله إلا الله وحده ولا شريك له لا إله إلا الله وأنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. He will make the dua and will repeat it three times, and between these two adaya, he will make as many adayas as he wants. He's supplicate as much as he wants. He will ask Allah for as much as he wants. And But certainly, it is always preferable to use the adaya of the Prophet ﷺ because these are the perfect formulas. So, ثم ينزل فيمشي إلى العلم ثم يسعى إلى العلم الآخر ثم يمشي حتى يأتي المروة فيفعل كفعله على الصفا. And then he walks to the flag. There is no flag now. There is a line in the ground, and there is a light that is green on the top. So you will not be seeing flags. You will just see a green line in the ground and a green light on the top, indicating where you start and end your brisk walking. And then he walks to the flags, to the flag, and walks briskly to the other flag, and then walks until he reaches al-Marwa, and does as he did at al-Safa. So basically, you will come from al-Safa from here and walk until you get to the flag, the area where the Prophet started to brisk walk. It was marked by a flag then. It is marked by a green line in the ground now. You will brisk walk until you get to the other green line, and then you walk. And all of this is to show you obedience, to teach us obedience, to teach us al-i'tisa' or al-iqtida' bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning following the Prophet, taking him as a role model. So that is what it engraves in us, to take the Prophet as a role model. This is what he did, and this is what we do. So you walk, you brisk walk until the other green line, and then you walk to al-Marwa, and then you make the dua, the same dua. You repeat it three times, and between these three times, you can make as much dua as you want. And you keep on doing this for seven times. Where are you going to end up? At al-Marwa, not al-Safa. Seven times. You start with al-Safa, you will end up at al-Marwa, because it's just seven times. ثم ينزل فيمشي في موضع مشيه ويسعى في موضع سعيه حتى يكمل سبعة أشواط يحتسب الذهاب بالذهاب سعيا وبالرجوع سعيا يفتتح بالصفا ويختم بالمروة. After that, he walks in the place of walking and walks briskly in the place of brisk walking until he finishes seven rounds. He counts going as one round and coming back as one round, starting with al-Safa and finishing with al-Marwa. Well, if we just entered Mecca, right? We just came from Jeddah or wherever your port of entry, and you just entered Mecca. Now you're making tamattu. Think that you're making tamattu, okay? Which means Umrah and then Hajj. Now you will exit from your Umrah Ihram to wait until you make your Hajj Ihram on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. So you're exiting now from your Ihram for Umrah. ثم يقصر من شعره إن كان معتمرا وقد حل إلا المتمتع إن كان معه هدي والقارن والمفرد فإنه لا يحل. And then he shortens his hair if he was making umrah and he exited from his state of ihram, except the one making tamattu if he has his offerings with him or the one making Qiran or Ifrad. None of them will exit from the state of Ihram. وَالْمَرْأَةُ كَالرَّجُلِ إِلَّا أَنَّهَا لَا تَرْمُلْ فِي طَوَافٍ وَلَا سَعِي. And the woman is like the man, except that she will not make Ramal. And certainly, we all know that their Ihram is different. In terms of the attire, that is, everybody knows that this is different. But in terms of the rituals themselves, she will do everything like the man, except that she does not do brisk walking. In tawaf or sa'i. So now you finished your umrah. You finished your umrah. Because you came, you made your tawaf, you made your sa'i, you finished your umrah, you take off your ihram. And you can wear clothes, regular clothes, and then you are completely halal now. Okay. So now you're going to wait in Mecca. Well, let's say you came on the first of the Hijjah. Let's say you can be. Whenever you come, you will do this, and then you exit from your ihram and wait. Wait until the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. You will be waiting in Mecca doing regular things, wearing regular clothes, doing regular things. You're halal. Now, you wait until the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. And when it is the day of Tarwiyah, Tarwiyah means storing water. Because at the time, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah now, water is everywhere in Arafat and Mina and Muzdalifah, everywhere there is water. But then they had to carry water with them. So that is the day where they stored their water. It was called the Day of Tarwiyah. Then everyone who is not in a state of ihram should enter into it from Mecca and go to Arafat. Some scholars say it's better to enter into it from the Kaaba, but it is better to enter into it from your masakin, from your place of residence in Mecca. And anywhere in Mecca is acceptable to enter into that state of ihram for al-Hajj. Now, so here is another picture. This is from the University of Idaho. I don't know why, but it's the University of Idaho. On the 8th, you will be proceeding to Mina, okay? And they're actually doing it the right way, because you will go to Arafah from Tariq Dab, and you come back from Arafah from Tariq al-Ma'zimain. So, but on the 8th, you will be proceeding to Mina. On the 9th, you will be going to the Arafah, Plain of Arafah, Mount of Mercy. You will be proceeding to Arafah from Tariq Dab, Asfal al-Jamarat. And after you depart from Arafah, after sunset of the 9th, you will go from Tariq al-Ma'zimain, and you will certainly stop here at al-Muzdalifah and pray Maghrib and Aisha and spend the night and pray Fajr and then make Dhikr under Mashar al-Haram, stay until it's bright, and then proceed after it's bright and before sunrise to Mina, where you will do what? You throw Jamrat al-Aqaba, the bigger Jamra, in Mina. And then you do what? You slaughter your sacrificial animal and shave or shorten your hair, and then proceed to Mecca to do your Tawaf al-Ifada. And when you do your Tawaf al-Ifada, you will do your Sa'i as well. And then you go back to Mina and wait in Mina for the days of Tashriq, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th for those who please to wait the 13th as well. And then after the end of the days of Tashriq, you go back for al-Wada', for the farewell pilgrim, for the farewell tawaf al-Wada'. Okay. Okay. So we said Imam Ibn Qudama unintentionally skipped the going to Mina here. Unintentionally skipped from his book Al-Umda the going to Mina. This could have been, you know, a page that was not found, or he could have skipped it, he could have just forgotten to add it. But certainly, you will not be going to Arafah directly. At least we're not describing the pillars now, we're describing the perfect Hajj. And certainly, in the perfect Hajj, you will not be going to Arafah directly. You will be going to Mina and praying Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr of the 9th in Mina. And then you will proceed to Arafah. You proceeded to Arafah. You came to Namira. And you prayed Dhuhr and Asr. You listened to the Qutbah. You prayed Dhuhr and Asr in Namira. And then you proceed to the plain of Arafah. And this is the Mount of Mercy. But all of this is Arafah. You can stand anywhere there. You do not have to be standing, by the way, because the Prophet ﷺ was sitting on his camel, Al-Qaswa, there. So you do not have to be particularly standing. It's called Mawqif, but you don't have to stand. You can sit in your car even. If you sit in your car, there should be no problem. The Prophet was sitting on Al-Qaswa. So if your car is like Al-Qaswa, there is no problem in sitting in your car. But you have to be within the jurisdiction of Arafah. And so you stay there in Arafah. And remember that we're combining the prayers now to devote yourself to dhikr. So if you're going to be reading the paper and talking to your friends, then this is ugly. I'm not saying it's haram, but it is ugly for sure. Because this is, you know, people sacrifice their lives. People risk their lives to come here for this day. This is the peak of it. You know, people used to, you know, ride ships from Indonesia and sail for weeks. And many people did not go back home just to get there. And you got there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed you with all the amenities and luxuries that you have. And you're eating and so on and so forth, nice tent and the food. But that's fine. That is okay. Use those luxuries. It's not haram. But then you have to mind your business, because that is the best time. You're combining the prayers because Allah wants you to give time for dhikr and dua. This is your best time to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُ الدُّعَاءِ دُعَاءِ يَوْمَ عَرَفَةٍ وَخَيْرُ مَا قُلْتَ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The best dua is the dua or supplication of the day of Arafah. And the best thing I said, I and the prophets before me, is La ilaha illallah. So certainly, you do say some dua, and La ilaha illallah is a form of thana, not dua. But if you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thana is praise. If you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certainly He will respond to your dua. You still make dua, because no one should be too proud to make dua to Allah, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you still make dua, and you use the adaya of the Prophet ﷺ, because he was given utiya du'ami al-kalim, the most decisive and comprehensive of all speech. And du'ami al-kalim are perfect formulas the Prophet ﷺ used to use in his dua. So if you remember some of his adaya and repeat them, but if you also make spontaneous dua, that is acceptable as well. فإذا زالت الشمس يوم عرفة صلى الظهر والعصر يجمع بينهما بأذان وإقامتين ثم يروح إلى الموقف وعرفت كلها موقف إلا بطن عرنة. And when the sun reaches its zenith or the meridian on the day of Arafat, he prays Dhuhr and Asr combined with one adhan and two iqamas. Then he goes to the standing place. All of Arafat is a standing place except for the middle or the bottom of the valley of Urana. ويستحب أن يقف في موقف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو قريبا من الصخرات ويجعل حبل المساء بين يديه ويستقبل القبلة ويكون راكبا. It is preferable to stand at the site where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stood and to make حبل المساء, the route or the path of the مساء, in front of you and to be facing القبلة and face the قبلة. While riding, because the Prophet ﷺ was riding his camel, Al-Qaswa. And until recently, they used to be riding their camel. But certainly now there is certainly no room. But if someone can stay within his car inside the borders of Arafah, that's fine too. That's fine. And ويكثر من قول لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ويجتهد في الدعاء والرغبة إلى الله عز وجل إلى غروب الشمس. And so he should say abundantly, there is no God but Allah, alone without partners. To Him belongs the dominion, and all praise is due to Him. In His hands is all goodness, and He is all capable of all things. And he should excel in making supplication and seeking Almighty Allah until sunset. ثم يدفع مع الإمام إلى مزدلفة على طريق المأزمين, the path between the two mountains. And then leaves with the Imam to Al-Muzdalifa. Muzdalifa is from being close or being high. It was Lifat al-Jannah al-Muttaqeen, and the Jannah was made approachable to the Muttaqeen or close to the Muttaqeen. It's from Qurb, it's from proximity, or it's from having a high station or sacredness. So, and then leaves with the Imam to Al-Muzdalifa, taking the route of Al-Ma'zimaini. He proceeds with serenity and dignity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam كان يسير العنق. He used to proceed moderately. فإذا وجد فرجة النص, if he found room, he would speed up. But he was moving calmly, moderately, and if he found room, he would speed up. But in other words, you should be mindful of the people around you, and you should be considerate to the people around you. when you are moving from Arafah now to Al-Muzdalifah. Which path you're taking? You're taking this path. This is Tariq Al-Ma'zumayn. So you'll go to Al-Muzdalifah. فإذا وصل إلى مزدلفة صلى بها المغرب والعشاء قبل حط الرحال يجمع بينهما ثم يبيت بها. Once he reaches المزدلفة, he prays المغرب and العشاء before he unloads his belongings. He combines the prayers, then he sleeps over in that place. So you'll pray مغرب and عشاء there. In fact, Imam Abu Hanifa was, many people think that Imam Abu Hanifa, you know, he did so much ijtihad, or some people may think that he did too much ijtihad. He did not do ijtihad because he wanted to abandon the sunnah. Imam Abu Hanifa was a very, very strict follower of the sunnah, to the point that he said, you do not pray in Maghrib al-Aisha except in Muzdalifah, because this is where the Prophet ﷺ prayed them. And Usama reminded the Prophet ﷺ, Salat ya Rasulullah, qala salatu amamak, salah will come. So Imam Abu Hanifa said that you do not pray except in Muzdalifah, no matter how late you are. You still wait until you get to Muzdalifah. You know, you see, during the time of Imam Abu Hanifa, there used to be many liars in Al-Kufa and in Iraq in general. And there used to be sectarianism. There used to be, you know, sects were cropping up everywhere. And people were lying against the Prophet ﷺ. He had to be careful with the acceptance of reports. So that's why whenever he had scarcity of reports, or reports that he did not particularly had no certainty in, he resorted to qiyas and resorted to ijtihad and resorted to reasoning because of this. Not because he found something from the Prophet ﷺ and he didn't want to take it. That is for sure not the case, and was never the case for him, radiallahu anhu wa rahimah. Anyway, يَبِيتُ بِهَا. Then he stays there in Muzdalifah, and then يُصَلِّ الْفَجْرَ بِغَلَسٍ. After that, he prays al-Fajr while it is still dark, and he goes to al-Mash'ar al-Haram. All Muzdalifah is al-Mash'ar al-Haram, and stands there and supplicates. There are heights in Muzdalifah, but all of al-Muzdalifah is al-Mash'ar al-Haram. And you stand in Muzdalifah and you supplicate. وَيَقِفْ حَتَّى يُسْفِرَ جِدًّا ثُمَّ يدفع قبل طلوع الشمس. And he stands there until it is well lit. It's bright. He stands there until it's bright. But before sunrise. It gets bright before sunrise. And then you proceed. Then you will be proceeding to Mina. Okay. فإذا بلغ محسرا, once he reaches محسر, محسر means withholder. Because this is where the field, the elephant, you know the elephant of Abraham. The elephant was with him. He should hasten for a distance of a stone's throw until he arrives at Mina. Hasten why? Why hasten here? Because that is where some people were destroyed, where an ancient nation was destroyed. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا تدخلوا على هؤلاء المعذبين إلا باكين أن يصيبكم ما أصابهم. Do not enter the dwellings of those who were tormented before you, except while crying, lest you will be afflicted by that which afflicted them. So certainly, it makes more sense that you do not live with Mu'adhabin, and you do not associate, and you do not be partner with them, and so on. You do not be helping them. If just being in the same place where they were at one point is a reason for concern for the Prophet, he wants to leave in Muhassir, because this is where an ancient nation was destroyed. And he says to his companions, don't enter their dwellings except while you're crying, lest you will be afflicted by that which afflicted you. Because when people, honestly speaking, when people go and they watch the pyramids, and they are amazed, and they're in awe, and so on, it takes out their allegiance to Allah. It removes their allegiance to Allah. And then they will have different allegiances now. To people who were, you know, disbelievers, to people who were tyrant, and so on and so forth. So people have to always be mindful of what these things were about. In fact, this temple was used to worship fire. This pyramid was used to bury like a god king, or a king that was considered god by his people. So people have to be mindful of the meanings, not just the physical exterior of these things, but the true reality and essence of them. Anyway, so you walk fast when you reach Muhassir, and then once you have reached the Jamarat, you will go to Jamrat al-Aqaba. You will go to Jamrat al-Aqaba, and you will stone Jamrat al-Aqaba. Once he reaches Muhassir, he should hasten for a distance of a stone's throw until he arrives at Mina. Then he starts with the Jamrat al-Aqaba, the bigger Jamra, and throws 7 pebbles at it that are like the pebbles of throwing. Pebbles you use in games. Hasal al-Khaz, that you use in games. And this is like an olive-sized pebble. Someone can say, which olive? You know, the regular olive. So a regular olive-sized pebble. And then يُكَبِّرُ مَعَ كُلَّ حَصَى. He says Allahu Akbar with every pebble and raises his hand while throwing. And he interrupts the talbiyah once he starts throwing. The interruption of talbiyah, there are different schools here. When does one interrupt the talbiyah? Different schools. But we're just talking, we'll talk more about the disagreements thereafter. And so you will be throwing this, the Jamrat al-Aqaba, the bigger Jamra. And this is the new one, by the way. It wasn't like this last year. This is the new picture. And then he stands in the middle or bottom of the valley and faces the Qibla, and he does not stand by it. He doesn't stand by Jamrat al-Aqaba. We said that he will be standing after he throws the Jamra, Sughra, the smaller one, and the middle one, he will be standing by them to make dua. But here, he will not be standing by them. فَمَّا يَنْحَرْ هَدِيَهُ فَمَّا يَحْلِقْ رَأْسَهُ أَوْ يُقَصِّرُهُ فَمَّا قَدْ حَلَّ لَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا النِّسَاءُ. Then he slaughters his sacrifice and shaves his head or shortens his hair, and then everything is permissible for him except contact with women. And it is any contact with women, because there is some disagreement. Which type of contact? It is any contact. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِلَّا النِّسَاءُ, except for women. For women, the just 3 verses, except for men. So, إِلَّا النِّسَاءُ meaning no contact, no lustful contact. No lustful contact. Any type of lustful contact should not be done until tawaf al-ifada, because that is when you completely exit from your ihram. ثم يفيد إلى مكة فيطوف للزيارة وهو الطواف الواجب الذي به تمام الحج. Then he proceeds to Mecca and performs the tawaf of al-ziyara, and that is the mandatory tawaf with which the hajj becomes complete. And like we said, and likewise, you start from this line here in the ground. This is not the line, by the way. These are people. But this is the door. So this is Hajar. And this will be the line, approximately. And you do the 7 circumambulations or rounds. It is important for Tawaf that you have Niyyah. It's important that you do 7. It is important that you do not cut through Hijr Ismail. It is important that you start from this line, from Al-Hajar. It is important that you have ritual purity, wudu. It's important that you have physical purity. It is important that you cover your nakedness. And it is important that the time of Tawaf would have started. Now, what time? The first Tawaf does not have a time, you know. Because whenever you come, in Ashhar Al-Hajj, whenever you come in the month of Hajj, you make your Tawaf Al-Qudum, or Tawaf Al-Umrah if you're Mutamatta, if you're making Hajj and Umrah subsequently. But Tawaf Al-Ifada has a time, and the time of Tawaf Al-Ifada is likely from the Fajr of the day of An-Nahr, which is Eid, the Fajr of the day of Eid. There are some scholars who say Tawaf Al-Ifada can be done before this, but it does not appear that Tawaf al-Ifada could be done before this. It does not appear. Some scholars said that he can even do it before Yawm al-Tarwiyah. He can do it Yawm al-Tarwiyah, before Arafah. But that is not a strong position. Just remember that, Prophet Ifada, you will do it after the Fajr of Yawm, the Fajr of Yawm al-Nahr, which is the day of Eid. And there is a lot of controversy here. You know, midnight, Fajr, there is a lot of controversy here, but likely you should do it after the Fajr of that day. When does it end? Tawaf al-Ifada, it does not end. Even if you went back home and you did not make Tawaf al-Ifada, go and make it. Yet, according to the Malikis, if you deferred it after Dhul Hijjah, you need to make it and slaughter. And according to the majority, if you make it after Ayyam al-Tashriq, you need to make it and slaughter. You need to make it and slaughter. According to the Hanbalis, you do not need to slaughter. You just need to make it. And that is the popular position in the Hanbali method. Okay, so now you made this tawaf, and now you will make sa'i, and we did describe sa'i before. ثُمَّ قَدْ حَلَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ You made tawaf al-ifada, you exited from your ihram. You're done. After that, everything is halal for him. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ أَنْ يَشْرَبَ مِنْ مَاءِ زَمْزَمْ And it is recommended that he drinks from Zamzam. وَيَتَضَلَّعْ مِنْهُ ثُمَّ يَقُولُ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْهُ لَنَا إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الدُّعَاءِ He drinks from Zamzam with any intention that he wishes and to drink his fill. Then he says, Oh Allah, grant us with it knowledge that has not been authentically reported from the Prophet ﷺ, but it is dua. You can use it, and you can use other duas as well. What the Prophet ﷺ said is, Zamzam lima sharibala. Zamzam will be for what it was drunk for. So you make dua, plenty of dua, when you drink from Zamzam with the intention that you are capitalizing on the blessing of Zamzam. Okay, so this will show you like an older picture, not very old, but an older picture. And this is where they used to enter down to Zamzam. And this is the door of Bani Shaiba. Yes, but it is not like hundreds of years. Yeah, but it is certainly an old picture. And this is again to summarize on the on, you know, on your coming, you've made your tawaf and sa'i, you exited from your ihram, you waited in Mecca, and on the day of Tarwiyah, storing water, the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, you started your ihram, you started here in Mecca, you moved to Mina, you prayed Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Aisha of the 8th, or Dhuhr and Asr of the 8th, and Maghrib of, and Aisha of the next, and then Fajr of the 9th, and then afterwards you will proceed to Arafah, and before you reach Arafah, it is better that you enter Arafah, the standing place, after Dhuhr, because that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. He stayed in Namira, and then he made the khutbah, he prayed the Dhuhr and Asr, and then he proceeded to Al-Mawqif, standing place in Arafah. And then you wait there, making dua and capitalizing on that great time. Make sure that you use all of it, and you make dua, or as much of it as you can. You make dua, supplication and dhikr, remembrance, until sunset, and then you proceed calmly with consideration to the rest of the people around you to Al-Muzdalifa. You pray Maghrib and Aisha when you arrive, and you go to sleep, preferably. You don't have to, but preferably, that you have energy for the next day. You pray Fajr in Al-Muzdalifa, then you make dhikr. Al-Muzdalifa is Al-Mash'ar Al-Haram. Fadkurullah and Al-Mash'ar Al-Haram. Remember Allah at Al-Mash'ar Al-Haram. Muzdalifa is Al-Mash'ar Al-Haram. You make remembrance, you make dhikr. Until it's bright, and before sunrise, you will proceed to Mina. You will throw the Jamrat Al-Aqaba, the bigger Jamrah. You will slaughter your sacrificial animal. You will shave or shorten your hair. And then you go to Mecca to make your Tawaf Al-Ifada, and you make your Sa'i. And Afterwards, you go back to Mina. You stay in Mina the 11th and the 12th. You'll throw the Jamarat between Dhuhr and Maghrib. You throw the Jamarat. You start with the Sughra, then Wusta, Sughra, the smaller, Wusta, the middle, Kubra, the bigger one. You make dua, you stand by the Sughra, the smaller, and the middle, and you make dua by them, not by Al Kubra, which is Jamrat Al Aqaba. And then after you have finished your Rami, whether you stay until the 13th and make Rami on the 13th as well, or not, after you have finished your Rami, you will go to Al Kaaba to make your farewell tawaf. Okay. He says here, ثم يرجع إلى منى ولا يبيت لياليها إلا بها. Then he goes to Mina. Well, you know, I am trying to give you all of it and then go back and give you a detail, all of it. So now what we stopped here at, where did we stop? We finished off at Ifada. Okay. Now, we finished off at Ifada, we're going back to Mina to spend the days of Tashriq and to throw the Jamarat. Then he goes to Mina and should only stay the nights of Mina in Mina. And that is obligatory, to stay the nights of Mina in Mina. And if you don't, you need to slaughter. If you miss all the nights, you need to slaughter. If you miss one night, you need to feed a poor person one month. فَيَرْمِي بِهَا الْجَمَرَاتِ بَعْدَ الزَّوَالِ مِنْ أَيَّامِهَا كُلَّ جَمْرَةٍ بِسَبْعِ حَصَيَاتٍ. Then he stones the Jamarat after Zawal, the sun reaching the meridian of each day, each Jamra. And we said that the scholars, there is room for ijtihad here, and there is room for different opinions. The Prophet did that, but there is no indication that it is forbidden to do it before and after the perfect time that the Prophet did it. And because of the crowdedness, and because the sacredness of Muslim, the life of Muslims is enormous before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then flexibility needs to be shown. So يَفَيَرْمِي بِهَا الْجَمَرَاتِ بَعْدَ زَوَالِ مِنْ أَيَامِهَا كُلَّ جَمَرَةٍ بِسَبْعِ حَصَيَاتٍ. Then he stones the Jamarat after Zawal, the sun reaching the meridian of each day. Each Jamra is stoned with seven pebbles. يَبْتَدِئُ بِالْجَمْرَةِ الْأُولَى فَيَسْتَقْبِلُ الْقِبْلَةَ وَيَرْمِيهَا بِسَبْعِ حَصَيَاتٍ كَمَا رَمَى جَمْرَةَ الْعَقَبَةِ ثُمَّ يَتَقَدَّمُ فَيَقِفُ فَيَدْعُو اللَّهَ ثُمَّ يَأْتِي الْوُسْطَى فَيَرْمِيهَا كَذَلِكَ ثُمَّ يَرْمِي جَمْرَةَ الْعَقَبَةِ وَلَا يَقِفُ عِنْدَهَا. He starts with the first Jamra. The first Jamra is a Sughra. And this is the Wusta, the middle. And this is Al-Aqaba, Kubra, the larger. He starts with the first Jamra and faces the Qibla. Where is the Kaaba, by the way? Kaaba is this way. And you'll be this way. Your dwellings in Mina will be this way. And the Kaaba will be this way. He starts with the first Jamra and faces the Qibla and stones it with seven pebbles, as he did with Jamrat al-Aqaba, and then he proceeds and stands to invoke Almighty Allah, and then goes to the middle Jamra and stones it as well. Then he stones Jamrat al-Aqaba, but he doesn't stand by it. Do you remember what those stars are for? I told you before, I have them to indicate consensus. So you're having a lot of consensus here between the scholars on these issues. فَمَا يَرْمِي فِي الْيَوْمِ الثَّانِي كَذَلِكَ. Then he stones in the second day likewise. فَإِنَ حَبَّ أَنْ يَتَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ خَرْجَ قَبْلَ الْغُرُوبِ. If he desired to leave early after 2 days, he should leave before sunset. فَإِنْ غَرَبَتْ الشَّمْسُ وَهُوَ بِمِنَى لَزِمَهُ الْمَبِيتُ بِمِنَى وَالرَّمِي مِنْ غَدٍ. You know, on the 12th now. You leave before the sunset of the 12th. If you stay after the sunset of the 12th, you wait until the 13th. And you make the Rami on the 13th. Except if you're stuck. You know, you're trying to leave, but you couldn't, because there is too much traffic. In this case, he can go ahead and leave. إن كان متمتع أو قارن فقد انقضى حجه وعمرته. If he was making tamattu or qiran, his hajj would have been completed. Even the mufrid, his hajj is completed or not. He's telling you, if you are making tamattu, which is umrah and then hajj, or qiran, umrah and hajj simultaneously, your hajj is completed. But he's telling you that if you're mufrid and you don't have to do this, in fact, you know, that's what Umar ibn Khattab wanted people to make ifrah, so that they can pay another visit for the Umrah. to the Kaaba, so that the Kaaba would not be abandoned for the entire year, because people are making their Umrah and Hajj together in the same season, and then they leave the Kaaba abandoned for the entire year. Well, it was not abandoned. It would have not been abandoned, but Umar wanted the Kaaba to be visited and frequented throughout the year. So that's why he told the people to make a ifrad. But anyway, if he says here, and if he was making a ifrad, he goes out to At-Tan'im and enters into Ihram for Umrah from there, and after that he goes to Mecca and makes tawaf and sa'i and shaves or shortens his hair. Now, you did not make Umrah before your Hajj, and you finish your Hajj and so on. This is an alternative for people who are poor, who cannot afford to do the slaughter of the sacrificial animal. Because if you make tamattu, you need to slaughter a sacrificial animal, right? Hadi for tamattu, the offering for tamattu, you slaughter a sacrificial animal. But now for people who are poor, and particularly if they come from faraway places, this is an alternative that the scholars tell them of. And it is not a trick, you know, it's not the bad trick. It is the good trick, because those people, it certainly is not meant for one who's capable and one who's well off and one who's this and that, but for someone who can't really afford the offering. You know, the offering is not cheap, right? But for many people, the offering is not cheap. So he made Hajj now, Ifrad, and he does not need to offer anything. Now he ended his Hajj, he goes to At-Tan'im, which is outside of the sacred precinct, Al-Haram. He left Al-Haram now. But he did not go back all the way home. He just went to At-Tan'im, which is outside the sacred precinct, and he makes ihram for a umrah, so that he goes back home with a hajj and umrah, not only a hajj. Why did he not do the umrah before? Because had he done the umrah before, or had he done the umrah and hajj simultaneously, he would have had to offer a sacrificial animal, hajj. And some people can't do this. Now, he made hajj, and he's now making Umrah. If he had shaved all of his hair, then he will pass a razor over his head, and his Hajj and Umrah would be then completed. That's a controversy that stems from Usul al-Fiqh. What was the Umrah made for? For al-imtithal or al-ibtila? What was the command meant for people to do, to act upon it, or for people to be tested by it? So if al-amr is for imtithal, to act upon it, then the one who doesn't have any hair does not need to use it to do that with this with the razor. If the amr is meant to be for ibtila, for testing and trial, then he will use the razor, just to follow the command, even though it will not do anything, because he had completely shaved just a few hours ago. But it is submission to the command. The command is for ibtila, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim to slaughter his son Ismail, knowing that he would not get to slaughter him. So the command there was just for ibtila, for testing and trial. وليس في عمل القرن زيادة على عمل المفرد ولكن عليه وعلى المتمتع دم لقوله تعالى فمن تمتع بالعمرة إلى الحج فما استيسر من الهدي فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام في الحج وسبعة إذا رجعتم. The one making قران does not do more than the one making إفراد. However, he and the one making تمتع, قران and تمتع, must slaughter based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever performs the Umrah in the months of Hajj before performing the Hajj, which is Hajj al-Tamattu an Qiran, he must slaughter a Hadi, an Qiran by Qiyas. The ayah says Tamattu. He must slaughter a Hadi such as he can afford, but if he cannot afford it, he should observe Sawm or fasting for 3 days during Hajj and 7 days after his return. So the scholars who say, whether you're trying to tell those poor people, you know, well, Allah gave them an exit. If they don't find an offering, they fast. So they would answer and say, well, what if they're too weak to fast? You know, or for some reason, some people could be, you know, particularly if they're traveling and they're exhausted and so on and so forth. وإذا أراد القفول لم يخرج حتى يودع البيت بطوافا عند فراغه من جميع أموره حتى يكون آخر عهده بالبيت. And when he wants to return to his homeland, he should not leave until he bids farewell to the house by circumambulation after he has completed all his matters. So that the last place he departs Mecca from is the house. Therefore, if he thereafter engaged in some business transaction or business transactions, he must repeat it. Unless, you know, he's on his way out and, you know, he's in the bus and someone stopped by or someone is walking by and he grabbed something on his way out. But he should not go back and, you know, live his life in Mecca and then leave without making that tawaf, which is to pay tribute to Mecca before he leaves. It is recommended for him, if he circumambulated the Kaaba, to stand at al-Multazam, which is the place to be embraced between the pillar of the black stone and the door. He would embrace the house and say, "O Allah," and then you. This hadith is from the scholars, so you can read it on your own. And or this du'a is from the scholars. It has not been reported from the Prophet ﷺ. You read it on your own, and you may use it. It gives you ideas. Al-Multazam is here. ويدعو بما أحب ثم يصلي على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then he supplicates as he likes and sends peace and blessings on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So whoever and then فمن خرج قبل الوداع رجع إليه إن كان قريبا وإن بعد بعث بدم. So whoever leaves before the farewell or the tawaf, he returns to it if he is close, and if he is far, he sends a sacrificial animal, an offering, because this is a mandatory action that he abandoned. إلا الحائض والنفساء فلا وداع عليهما ولا يستحب لهما الوقوف عند ويستحب لهما الوقوف عند باب المسجد والدعاء. Except for a menstruating woman and one with postpartum bleeding, they are not obliged to perform farewell pilgrimage because otherwise that would be a hardship for them to be required to perform that farewell tawaf al wada'. And it is recommended for them to stand at the door of the masjid and to supplicate. And that is the end of Al-Hajj wal-Umrah. One, going from Mecca to Mina on the day of Tarwiyah. Two, going from Mina, you'll stay in Mina. And then you go to Arafah, stay in Mina until after the Fajr of the day of Arafah. You'll go to Arafah, stay until sunset of Arafah. You'll go to Al-Muzdalifah. You stay until after Fajr and before sunrise in Muzdalifah. You go to Mina, you throw Jamrat al-Aqaba only on the day of Al-Eid, the 10th, and then you do your slaughtering, you shave, you go to make your Tawaf al-Ifada, you make your Sa'i, you have now exited completely from your Ihram, you return to Mina, to be throwing the Jamarat on the 11th and the 12th and the 13th if you want to do it on the 13th. And after you are done, you go back to Mecca to make Tawaf al-Wada' and then you go back home. قل قولي هذا استغفر الله لكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.